Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Davis Rangy, producer Matthew. Guys, Overtime is brought to you by my friend Julia Hurley with Realty Executives. Give her a call today, 865-237-7328. While you're buying, investing, selling, anything you need, she's got you covered. 865-237-7328 is her number. Tell her the crew from Overtime sent you. Tennessee will play in the Orange Bowl against Clemson on December 30th. How are we feeling?
Not great, honestly, just because, you know, it is our luck that Cade Klubnik finally does take the starting job and plays amazing in the ACC championship. But, I mean, it is a great honor to play in the Orange Bowl, and I'm just excited to play in it. And, you know, I hate Clemson more than any other team other than Alabama. So,
if I can get us free tickets, you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, I'm already looking, so.
Yeah, we're already looking to go down there.
If you can get free tickets, though, I will gladly accept.
I will gladly accept that as well.
Gotcha. Vet Ticks, they're doing a giveaway for free Orange Bowl tickets. Oh. So I'm going to try to get in that lottery and snag those if I can. As you mentioned, DJ Uiagalelei has entered the transfer portal along with about 50 million other student-athletes from across the nation. And Deion Sanders going to Colorado. Their athletic director said, we don't have the money to pay him yet, but we will.
They're basically hiring him on credit.
Yeah, I mean, they're banking on people still coming there by raising tuition.
Raising tuition, hoping to win games, hoping some big money boosters pitch in. It's pretty wild, and the official number now as of 5 p.m. Eastern, so an hour ago, was 944 players into the transfer portal.
That is a lot of players, and you got to think that a lot of those players from Colorado are looking to leave, mainly because Deion Sanders straight up walked into the room and said, yeah, I'm bringing my guys with me. I'm going to talk to some of y'all about hitting the transfer portal. Like, here's my problem with that. Those kids committed to Colorado. Whether they committed to the coach or to the school, they basically made the decision, hey, I'm going to spend the next 3 to 4 years of my life here in Boulder. Now he's going to look at some of those kids who had no intentions of transferring probably and tell them, hey, listen, you're going into the portal and you are going to start life in a new city somewhere. You're not going to play on this team.
Like Heupel said, I didn't choose you guys. I chose you guys. You guys didn't choose me. And so that was a great way to start out. And then you got the opposite. You got the absolute 360 or 180, Deion coming in there saying, hit the portal. You know, I got more you leave, the more it makes room for me.
Kind of wild. It's very wild.
And the whole speech was just very ironic. You know, he says no hats in the meeting room, yet he has a hat. He says no phones or cameras, yet he has a whole camera crew in there.
I don't think I've ever seen a coach wear a hat during his introductory press conference.
Now that you say that, I don't think I have – not even Pruitt wore a hat.
I don't think I have either. I mean, he had a whole camera crew for when he –
I think Jamie Chadwell might have wore a visor to his
– yesterday.
Probably just, took it off right after.
He had a whole camera crew video him the whole time he told his kids he was leaving. So, I mean, I don't really know coaches that typically do that.
They're clout chasing.
He's very egotistical is what he is.
Yeah, I mean, I just – you know, coaches do it in – they do it in private. They tell their kids, hey, we're leaving, and then –
yeah, and I'm going to go on the record here on December the 5th of 2022 and say that this will be an utter disaster with Deion in Colorado.
Oh, nobody in this room is disagreeing with you. Let's see if anybody else disagrees with us. If y'all want to hop in, y'all know the number, 865-546-8200. So, JT Shrout, you brought up a good one out in Mojave, Davis. Do you take him back? Just as insurance.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's insurance. I mean, you got to feel bad for him. He started this year, although he didn't have a great team around him. I went 1-11. You know, you've got Deion coming in the introductory press conference and just saying, telling his son to stand up and saying, that's your quarterback right there. I mean, you've got.
But he's got to earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you believe that.
No, he's getting the job day one.
You've got ultimate daddy ball at the Power 5 Pac-12 level. It's unbelievable. And I feel really bad for him because, you know, he left. I feel like he didn't get a fair share here, and then he goes to Colorado, and he's definitely not getting one now. So I would love for him to come back as a graduate transfer. You know, I mean, we still don't even know who will be our starter next year. So I'm not saying JT Stroud will be your starter, but I think he would love the opportunity to come back.
I think he would as well. Let's get Fake Bob in here first. What's up, Fake Bob?
How are you all doing?
Pretty good, man.
You know, Deion just came off really, I mean, it is Deion, so he came off really cocky. And, I mean, those kids coming off the season that they just did and basically come in and say, hey, you all suck and you're not going to play for me. Mm-hmm. Sure, that just came off those. I'm sure they're not very happy with him already.
No, and, I mean, he's probably going to have people hit the portal that he probably doesn't even want to hit the portal. Because you got to think, a lot of those guys are friends.
Yeah.
And, like, if you disrespect, like, say, you know, take this for example. Say somebody comes in and they're like, oh, well, guess what? Somebody here is not good enough and we're going to just completely eliminate them. But that's your best friend? How are you going to feel?
F this guy, I'm leaving too. And that's not what you want. I mean, you got a 1-11 team, they're already beaten down. You're just going to come in there and beat them down some more. And I've got news for Deion. That Colorado team, 1-11 team, would absolutely run any of his Jackson State teams out of the building. Not even close.
And that's what I was about to say. It's one thing that he won at Jackson State or whatever, but this is a whole nother level of football, even though it's at Colorado. I think the only thing that is going to help him in the next year or two is UCLA and USC leaving, because then he has to just worry about Oregon and then the occasional Oregon State, you know.
But even then, like, his only game at Jackson State against an FBS team was Louisiana Monroe. They lost that game. It was last year. They lost that game 7-12 against Louisiana Monroe. Not against an Alabama, not against a Florida State, not against Miami, not even against Vanderbilt, Louisiana Monroe, and they lost.
And then, I mean, he hasn't had to face any kind of, like, backlash, too. I mean, he starts losing at Colorado and still trying to do, like, the way he's talking and stuff like that. They're going to – them administrators and stuff and the fan base will turn on him quick.
Well, and the thing, too, is their athletic director said, we don't have the money to pay him yet, but we're going to. What happens if you have to fire him? Then you have a full-blown just disaster on your hands. You don't have the money to pay him as it is. You're not going to have enough money to fire him, and then you're not going to have enough money to hire a new coach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they don't have the resources for NIL and everything else that a lot of these other schools – dude, I mean, the Pac-12, I mean, let's call it like it is, they don't have the best of resources throughout most of their schools either, but they have more resources than what Colorado does. And you had Colorado's athletic director in this meeting a few months ago saying, well, Colorado just, you know, we're going to get left behind in NIL. Like, openly admitting, it's like, hey, we're going to get left behind with NIL.
I would say Colorado, in terms of facilities and what they have on, like, hand, is probably, what, middle of the pack to lower, if that.
I mean, they probably got the same standard of facilities as MTSU.
Yeah, I mean, they have a nice indoor practice facility and all that. Like, I've seen it, I've been there, but it's not anything compared to, like, a USC, a UCLA, Oregon. Like, it doesn't even come close.
Say it's around Mississippi State level?
Actually, that's a really good comparison. But I'm going to add something to what you said, Davis. It's not just going to cripple the football program. For as much as they're paying him, it might cripple the entire athletic department.
School, too.
Yeah.
And going to Tennessee real quick, I'm excited about the Orange Bowl. Like, I think either – even with the opt-outs or if there's even going to be on either team, I think it's going to end up being a good game. But if, say, Joe Milton struggles again, and do we go get a quarterback in the portal? And if we do, I think one guy they need to look at is the Oklahoma State quarterback that's in the transfer portal, and I'll hang up and listen.
That's a really good point, Fake Bob. Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, that's a really good idea. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the portal right now. You got Hudson Card from Texas.
NC State's quarterback.
Keaton Slovis is back in.
Keaton Slovis, too. Sure, what was his name? Spencer Sanders, I think.
Spencer Sanders. I don't know who the guy is at NC State, but I mean –
Devin Leary is his name.
Yeah. I mean,
you've got a bunch of good options, man. I mean, you're not – this isn't your future. This is a guy that'll bridge you for a year, maybe two, hopefully not.
Well, and speaking of – transfer portal additions. Lewis Hansen, Michigan tight end, a four-star coming out of high school, 6'4 and a half, 232.
I mean, I saw a USC linebacker go in. I saw an Indiana linebacker go in. I mean,
Justin Flau went in from Oregon, former five-star. I mean,
there's
another,
talent there.
Another five-star from Oklahoma linebacker went in. I mean, there's talent everywhere in this portal.
I think Alabama's, was it their starting guard?
Their starting left tackle, or starting left guard, excuse me. So he could replace Jerome Carvin. He started in 11 games this year. You know, you got Trayshawn Holden out at wide receiver. You've got
Trey Sanders at running
Trey
back.
Sanders already wants to go Deion, so that's off the table. Then you've got Kyrie Jackson at cornerback from Alabama, 6'3", 198. So, I mean, you've got a bunch of different options.
Absolutely. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. And as we were talking about that, Owen McCown, Colorado quarterback, has entered the transfer portal.
Good luck to him.
Yep, good luck to him.
I'm expecting to see JT Stroud in there pretty soon.
And we'll go ahead and move on to the next coaching hire. South Florida has hired away Tennessee's offensive coordinator, Alex Golish. Good for him. I have no harsh feelings towards Alex Golish. He felt like this is a move where he could better his career and actually call the plays. Good for him.
I agree. I don't know how I feel about I mean, he could at least just do one more bowl game. I guess it just to take away what now?
I mean, he's got 2 weeks to recruit, basically, for early signing day.
I guess.
And you know who would be a great defensive coordinator for him? Willie Martinez.
Well, they already hired one.
Damn it. But, I mean, I felt like he would have been a great candidate for the defensive coordinator job down at USF. I really do.
What was his name again? It was something Orlando. Todd Orlando, I think. What was his name?
IDK.
I think you on the right name right there.
Yes. Florida, South Florida is expected to hire Todd Orlando as Alex Golish's defensive coordinator. He's been the DC at Texas, USC in Houston. He brings an aggressive style that will complement the new high-tempo USF offense.
And another hire, Jamie Chadwell is headed to Liberty. He might fit in pretty well there, just for the simple fact that Lynchburg, Virginia, kind of got Knoxville-Maryville vibes, Knoxville-Oak Ridge vibes.
I don't really understand the hire. Maybe you can understand it more than me or explain it, but I feel like that's just a lateral move, is it not?
I feel the same way.
You got more resources at Liberty than what you do Coastal Carolina. I mean, Coastal Carolina, it's a small school right outside of Myrtle Beach there in Conway. Nice campus, you're close to the beach, but when you go to Liberty, I mean, you're talking, you know, number one, great campus, number two, good school, and number three, they got the biggest online program in the country. They've got the money. They got more resources than what he was going to have at Coastal Carolina.
It's also not a rebuilding job at all. I mean, he just steps in and goes in, but he also built it up at Coastal Carolina. I mean, he fumbled away in New Year's Six Bowl, but I mean, he won there too, so we'll see. So many hires like over this weekend since we talked Friday.
Can we talk about the second worst hire in college football?
I think I know who you're talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why in the world would you go after Satterfield?
I was so confused when I woke up this morning.
And they're playing each other in a bowl game.
Yeah, exactly. And it said, I thought they said Marcus Satterfield at first, South Carolina's offensive coordinator. And I was like, what a dumbass hire. And then I realized, oh, that's Louisville's coach. Okay.
Yeah, I was very confused on that hire.
I mean, they're going to the Big 12. Speaking of Cincinnati, they're going to the Big 12. Why would you hire a guy that cannot win at the level that he's at?
What's the best he's finished? 7-5 at Louisville?
He was on the hot seat at the start of the year.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, they could have done a lot better. I mean, we even joked about Urban Meyer. I mean, Alex Golish would have been a better hire, I think. At least you don't know yet. You know that Scott Satterfield is pretty much
Alex
topped
Golish,
out.
Alex Golish, Jamie Chadwell. Actually would have been a pretty good fit.
Tom Herman, I mean, he took the job at FAU. They probably didn't even reach out to him.
Nope.
No, whoever is running the athletic department at Cincinnati, you need to
hang it up, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, that That was a bad one. Oh, boy. We got Randall. All righty. Randall apparently has a song for us. What's up, Randall?
It's been 2 games and 15 days since you took Air Hooker away. I watched the Bama game all night and the first playoff rankings all day since you took Air Hooker away. Since you've been gone, I've had to watch those overthrows. He really doesn't fit in your shoes. It's true we beat Vandy 56-0, but nothing, I said nothing can take away these blues. So the...
Nice.
I just lost my train of thought.
I don't know, I just thought... I thought Randall was starting to, trying to be a cover-up ZR at first, but can't replicate ZR, man.
Oh, wow.
Appreciate
the call.
You did not get flushed because you were singing. You got flushed because that is the only thing that is going to be playing in my head for the next 24 to 48 hours.
I appreciate the effort.
Since you took my hooker away.
I mean, thank you. Thanks for the effort. I mean, I don't know.
Wonder how long that took.
I don't know, but now my train of thought is...
Talking about Scott Satterfield.
That was a very surprising.
What a terrible
hire. That's
a
terrible
hire.
They've had a lot of players enter the portal, too, at Cincinnati. Tyon Evans. Did he declare for the draft?
Yeah, you said that Friday.
Yeah, he did declare. Anthony Richardson declared today for the draft.
That he did. That he did.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Who are they going to get now? DJ?
Who knows?
Who knows? I mean,
they just had one quarterback go to jail. They had another quarterback who dropped the N-word in a Snapchat video, so he's gone.
Straight dumpster fire.
So do they even have a quarterback?
I don't know the quarterback. Who will start in their bowl game? Seriously, do we have any idea?
They're probably just going to have to throw a wide receiver in there that either used to play quarterback.
Oh, wait. Jack Miller. Because that was the guy that I said he broke his thumb, and they were like, if they got that desperate, they were going to throw him in there.
Oh, and that's at the start of the year, people thought his name was Jake Miller.
Nice.
And they were saying, put Jake Miller in. I'm like, yes. Put me in on the fourth Saturday in September. Put me in.
Yep.
Well, I'll do the job. Put me in.
That's it, Jack Miller.
Oh, I'd have done the J-O-B, too. I'd have the worst quarterback rating in the history of college football.
And you were just throwing in the corral for, what, 3 straight plays?
I just hope Kamal Haddon can catch it.
Nice.
I would throw straight at Kamal Haddon if I was Jack Miller.
Oh, man. Could you imagine? Kamal has an interception just right there. He's going up to grab it, slips through his hands. I throw it 80 yards for a touchdown. I'd be so mad.
What, you'd be throwing your helmet as their quarterback?
Oh, my goodness. I'd.
Who else was hired this week?
Let's see. Well,
Matt Rhule is going to Nebraska, which we knew that.
Ah, yeah, we knew that one.
Trent Dilfer is going to UAB.
I saw that. Yep.
How do you think that's going to translate? Now he's got to recruit. Now he's actually got to work. You know, upwards of 12 to 16 hours a day.
I don't know. I mean, it is a pretty low-pressure job, and it's not a bad cultural fit. That's another thing. I think Dion in Colorado is just such a weird fit. Like, if you've ever been out to, like, Boulder or anything like that, it just doesn't feel like somewhere where Dion would like to be. Because I thought Dion would rather take that USF job before he took the Colorado job.
I mean, that would – I don't – it just doesn't – Yeah, you're right. It just doesn't seem like it's going to work.
It's just a weird fit. Like, they like earthy stuff. Like, it's hard to even find a Burger King out there.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, like, pretty earthy, man. It's, like, lots of outdoor stores, like REI and stuff, and trails and green lines and
mountains.
Mountains, yeah, clearly. I mean, it just doesn't – I don't see Dion being a big outdoors guy.
Well – we will see how that turns out. That's
This son?
I just don't know.
He said his son stayed. He didn't make the trip out there.
His son was there. I mean, he flew on the plane with him after the championship game.
Sean says Jaden Rashada.
Oh, yeah, he is coming in for next year.
He's going to be the starter next year.
But for the bowl game, I guess Jack or Jake Miller, however you want to call him, is going to be their starter.
Well, I'll be their starter. Send me out to Vegas.
Has not had a snap this year. So.
Oh. You talk about a team that that has been just as dysfunctional, if not more dysfunctional, than Tennessee. And it seems like Tennessee finally fell forward, whereas Florida has been the one since Urban Meyer left that has fallen forward. They have finally, it seems, fallen backward with Billy Napier. And it didn't seem that way to start the year after they beat Utah.
It's like, here we go again.
Yeah, it's like first-year head coach is going to come in and beat us. Here we go again.
Florida just never is bad. They just always fall forward, like you say.
Until this year.
Brand new coach. They just pick up like nothing ever happened. Top 10 win his very first game, and then they just implode.
Started with us.
Because usually it doesn't implode for a new coach there until, what, year three?
I mean,
recently.
That's the thing is they beat a team that just went to the Pac-12 championship, won the Pac-12.
I don't know what the deal was because, like, that's a terrible loss now for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have been – granted, they're still going to the – or is it – yeah, they're playing Penn State in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
still got a Rose Bowl berth, but had you taken care of Florida, I mean, you could be in the discussion for a college football playoff.
They would have been in.
Because what would they have been?
They lost two games this year. They lost to Florida, and they lost to, I believe,
Oregon,
if I'm not mistaken.
I think they may have lost
three. No, they lost three games, actually.
They lost to UCLA,
and they lost to Oregon. So, Florida, UCLA, Oregon.
So, I mean, even that Florida loss, they would have been 11-2
They
now?
Still would have ended up the same place they are now.
Yeah, either way.
Maybe. We never know. We never will know.
Just like we never will know if we had beaten South Carolina, would we be in the national championship? I believe so.
Most likely. Stay with us. We're going to talk about this cringy video that was posted to TikTok by Alabama football players when we return. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. So, the begging and more begging from not just Nick Saban but the entire Alabama team was something that I did not expect to see out of Nick Saban this past weekend. I never expected him to be the one begging.
What game did he go on?
Big Ten halftime.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I mean, he was on there and pleaded his case. I think, how long was he on there? 20 minutes?
It was a good, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah. And then you had some players on TikTok. Bryce Young kind of got dragged into it. But Terrion Arnold and Jordan Battle recorded a video to TikTok, basically singing to the college football playoff. And I'm going to play you all the clip. 1 second. So this is what they said.
Can y'all please let us in? Can y'all please let us in? Because I got a point to prove. And we got a point to prove. And he has a point to prove.
Randall, you win the singing contest for the day because that...
Holy cringe.
The auto-tune made it worse.
That was very cringe.
Yep. Just have to stare down at the ground during that one.
I don't know. Bryce Young was kind of just minding his business, just sitting there and point the camera to him.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's one or two draft pick this year.
Well, and you had everybody trying to make a case for Alabama. You had Greg McElroy, Peter Burns, like all these guys were trying to make a case for Alabama. They should be in. They should be in. Okay, what have they done?
Oh, yeah. Greg McElroy said it's not Bama's fault that their best win was Texas.
Yes, it is.
It's Bama's fault they didn't beat us. It's Bama's fault.
They didn't beat LSU.
They didn't beat LSU. And their best win is, 4-8-4 teams now?
Really?
Texas, Mississippi State.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Probably
Texas. That was a close game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Now imagine that team without Bryce Young.
I mean, that would be terrible. You saw what happened when Jalen Milroe went in. I mean, they were terrible. They barely beat A&M by what?
That four.
They should have lost.
Yep, they should have lost that game.
They should have lost to Ole Miss.
They
should have lost to Texas.
I say they lose to Texas before I say they lose to Ole Miss.
Lane Kiffin just choked it away. He can never win a big game. Yeah, I mean, they should have lost really technically to A&M. I mean, the clock operator. They should have had two plays at the end zone. He let the clock operator let it run down from 7 seconds to three, and no one said a word about it. Not even Brent Musk, whatever, Gary Danielson and all those losers didn't say a word about it. And it was pass interference on that play. So
yep. Now that's one guy I'm glad that we never have to hear again.
Is that his last year finally?
Yes, thank God. He was the worst one trying to plead a case for Alabama. I don't think that Georgia wants to see Alabama in the first round of the college football playoff. I'm like, you think Georgia cares if Alabama makes it? Is this Alabama team? Do you think Georgia cares if this Alabama team makes it to the college football playoff? No, because they'll steamroll them.
I mean, you saw what they put on, what was it, at the end of that Big Ten game where it was like Alabama's unlikely path to the college football playoff? Everything was checked off. And I mean, the committee got it right. And not letting them get in.
I mean, they didn't move TCU, but I mean, that was the better move than letting Alabama in.
Yeah, they didn't penalize them for a championship game.
Well, they got it right, except putting us at six.
Well, Billy Stats made a good point this weekend, too. He's like, you're penalized for losing an extra game. Because not everybody plays, obviously, not everybody plays a championship game in their conference. Why not just sit out? Why not just opt out of the conference championship game if you're one of the top four teams in the country?
Yeah, that was my point. I mean, if we had just taken care of business after losing to Georgia, we would just be chilling at home this past weekend, waiting on everything to collapse, and it did, and we would have snuck right in with a whole extra week of rest and not having to risk getting bumped out. Because if we had somehow beaten Georgia and slipped up and been 11-1 in the SEC championship and lost, we would have been out of the playoff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we would have.
So it's a stupid idea. Like a team like LSU has no chance of getting in the playoff at 9-3, but they can ruin your college football playoff chances at 11-1. Like, it really makes no sense.
Now, did you see what they do for the 12-team playoff? Four highest seeds. For the first four seeds. Four highest conference champions.
Yeah.
So they would – Greg McElroy made a point. He actually made a good point. He said, imagine if Purdue were to beat Michigan. Purdue gets in the college football playoff.
See, and that
makes zero sense.
Well, and this goes back to the 32 team.
It's like basketball, right?
Yeah.
Oregon State went in, and they were, 11-18 on the year?
Yes. I mean, they were terrible.
Beat us.
Yeah, beat
us. They made a good run. But, yeah. I mean, that's just – it doesn't make sense because you're basically – the regular season doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
As long as you just coast by and win enough to get to the conference championship.
Well, and for proof, I'll show you all the picture. Like, there's a post that I made on Facebook back in 2018 begging for a 32 team. So don't just think that I've came up with this just because Tennessee didn't make the playoffs this year. No, this has been on my mind for the past 4 to 5 years.
I guess, are they diluting the divisions now?
There's not going to be divisions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you get past a Purdue getting in, or an Oregon State saying, or like
a stupid Stanford that goes 8-4 and beats U.S. or not even, I don't even know who would play in the Pac-12 championship now.
But. Well, think about this. What if a terrible 6-6 team is your best team in a division going up against the number one team in the nation and they somehow win the conference championship? That team's getting in.
Yeah.
When they were going to go to the damn Music City Bowl.
Like, could you imagine? It's like, who's playing this year? Iowa and Kentucky in the Music City. That's like Iowa winning the Big Ten championship and playing Georgia.
Offensive slugfest right there.
Yeah. Could you imagine a 7-6 Iowa playing number one Georgia?
That would be the worst football game you ever watched.
I would not watch it.
By the way, this might be the lowest over-under I've ever seen for a college football game. Do you know what the over-under is?
27.5?
19?
32.
Wow.
I was close.
Take the under.
I would take the under.
I mean,
it's like the Denver Broncos, man. Whenever they're playing, just take the under. They've got the best defense in the NFL, but they got the worst offense.
Well, Levis is not playing, and Iowa's, I think they're Poor Spencer Petras is playing one more game, and Cade McNamara is going to boot him out of there. So
I mean, Russell Wilson has less touchdowns than toilets in his house this season.
I don't care about that fraud.
That's a stat for you.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
How many touchdowns does he even have this year?
I think 7.
That big Samoan dude almost ripped his head off.
I think 7.
I mean,
he's 8.
Yeah, but the thing about the playoff, man, is that this, the whole expanding to 12 teams and going by the criteria that you referenced, Matthew, it is not going to fix the problem. In fact, it might make it worse. And someone tried to ask, it's like, well, this is going to devalue the regular season. Okay. But look at college basketball. If you play just the Elite Eight and on, nobody's going to watch that. There's no excitement there. It's going to be the same 8 teams that are in contention for it every single year. Am I wrong or am I wrong?
Repeat that.
I mean, you could have some sleepers that show up in the top 8.
So take college basketball. Take March Madness, for example.
Yeah.
You just do an Elite Eight and on. Only mm-hmm. 8 teams get in.
Mm-hmm.
Or only 4 teams or 12 teams get in.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good product.
No.
Nobody's going to watch that, and it's going to be the same teams that are in contention for it every single year. The problem that we have with college football right now is that the same teams are in contention year after year after year. Well, you expand to 32 teams, you create parity. You know, Nick Saban wants to preach parity. This is the only way that it can be done.
Well, right now you have, like, every year you have one wild card. Like, last year a wild card was Michigan. This year it's TCU. But I think I saw a stat where this is like the first time, like maybe ever,
yes,
that the college football playoff has not included either Alabama or Clemson.
Yes, this is mm-hmm. the first time since it's
in 7 years.
Yeah, in inception.
Or 8, however long it's been.
Yeah, since 2014.
So it's, I don't know, man. And then the wild cards, like I said, like TCU is going to get demolished. Michigan got demolished last year. So they really are just like a Cinderella. They're basically a St. Peter's equivalent.
I mean, look at Michigan State when they played Bama.
Yeah, I mean,
what was that final score like?
45 to nothing.
Yeah,
I think.
It was. I mean, that's
it was not
terrible.
A fun game to watch.
No, it's terrible.
Terrible TV ratings. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More of your phone calls coming up.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane. Dixon and all his reindeers pulling on the rain.
Fan Run Radio Overtime continues, and back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go. Martin is next. What's up, Martin?
Yes, Jake, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good, buddy. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Jake, who's the wide receivers we're looking at in the portal now?
Martin, there's a ton in the portal right now. A bunch of guys that were once 2- and 3-star that have elevated to 4-star. You know, just from what they've done, kind of like, you know, Isaiah Nayor that went to Wyoming and then Texas. He was a 2-star coming out of high school and got elevated really quick. And I think you're going to see not only what you saw today, but you're going to see still a lot more people enter the transfer portal, especially with coaching changes coming up and a lot of stuff like that. I think there's what in the portal right now? 19.
It was 900.
No, excuse me, 900.
900 and. It's the official number. 944 players. That was as of 5 p.m. So I'm sure that number's gone up.
Any quarterbacks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of quarterbacks, too.
Whoever you want, Martin, pretty much.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't wish him no harm, and I think he would be a decent quarterback. I just think Joe Milton can't do the job.
We've been saying that for a little bit
now. 2 years.
Yeah, and I mean, and Martin, that's the thing, is he's been here, you know, since last year, and, of course, he was your starter last year. He's going to be your starter. You know, when we play in the Orange Bowl against Clemson.
I hope we win with him. Jake, I hope we do.
I really do. And, you know, I like the guy. He's been a good teammate, but he's not it.
Mm-mm.
Yes, and while I'm here, it is, too, that quarterback out of Virginia, Brandon Armstrong.
Yes.
I'm hearing a little bit on him and – Russell mentioned on his show, Ryan O'Keefe out of Central Florida, and he also mentioned that Brett Hubb said Austin Price said that they're Dante Thornton out of Oregon.
That would be a good one. You know, there's just so many names, and Michigan had a guy go into the portal today, a big 6 foot four and a half, 232 pound tight end that would fit really well in this offense, I think.
Yes. Russell said we might still go for a tight end out of Georgia, though. He said he thinks he's your number one target.
I think that's probably right.
Out of college?
Yes.
I like to see it for him, but I tell you what, Jake, I like to see Joe Milton do well here. I really would. It took me to death if they let that boy run the ball some, too.
See, I think he'd be good at, you know, a running back. Like, make him your power back because he's got the size and the ability to just run over people, and that's what we've been looking for.
Or like Princeton Fant for next year. You know, you're going to be missing him. More like a kind of Swiss Army knife, can do it all.
Yes, and I was glad to see West won the state championship.
You a West High School grad, Martin?
Yes, Russell asked me that.
Did not know that.
Yes, from 79.
Well, you know, Martin, my high school, we've only made the playoffs about five or six times in my entire life.
Yes.
Went to Campbell County. And you all probably beat us a bunch.
Yes. I sure do enjoy listening to you all. It's to Russell, and I listen to you all.
We enjoy you calling, Martin.
Because you can tell like it is on your show, you don't beat around the bush.
Well, Martin, I appreciate that. And you bring an extra value to this show that we wouldn't have if you didn't call in, so we appreciate you.
Yes, but Jake, let me tell you this, and I'll let you go.
Yes, sir.
We got three quarterbacks over there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have two, but we only go with Joe Milton because one of them's hurt. And, well, two of them's hurt, John Hooker, but Jake, to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
I just don't think Joe Milton's a man.
I don't either, Martin. I agree 100%.
And what do you think we're going to do about our Lady Vols?
Martin, I don't know. That loss to
– they lost to Virginia Tech last night, so that, 4-5 on the season.
Yeah, that was just I don't know what to think.
Terry Johnny Harper told me, dog, you know what she said on her talk show last night?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the game, we're missing three players.
Mm-hmm.
One out for coach's decision and two out for injuries.
Yep.
And the player she played, you know what she told Brian Rice about him?
What'd you tell him?
She said, my team would be just fine with the girls I got right here playing for me.
I hope she's right.
And Jake?
Yes, sir.
She didn't mention the three that set out. She mentioned one that played last night for her.
Ah.
Yep. You got to cut that cancer out sometimes, Martin.
Yeah. Well, let's go when I tell you this. They said that Rekia Jackson is very good, but they had to shut her out last night because of a coach decision.
Yeah, it's interesting reading between the lines on that one.
Yes, you never know what happens, but she did say that my team would do just fine with the players we played tonight.
And hopefully going forward we can put some more wins in there. That one was really puzzling yesterday, losing to Virginia Tech.
Well, Virginia Tech is number 9 in the country.
It is, but, I mean, you got to think, Martin.
You started the year at number 5, Martin, and we're not even ranked at this point.
And you got to think, too, Martin, you know, the Lady Vols, I mean – they were at the pinnacle. I mean,
and they still should be.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, it's hard for me to accept the fact that Tennessee had those down years in football because I grew up knowing a good football team. And it's just hard for me to see the Lady Vols on this decline that they've had ever since, you know, Pat Summitt had to retire.
Yes. Well, I'm telling you what. You want my words. Kelly J. Harper, if she don't make the Sweet 16, she might be gone.
That, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And
this makes the 4th year she's been over there.
She might not make the tournament this rate, Martin.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. She might not even make the tournament.
It's hard to say how many wins I have in the SEC.
Yeah, it's
But they're going to have to bring them together. Jake, they're going to have to bring them together somehow.
That's the thing. And, I mean, whether that be just off-the-court team-building activities, Davis, you know of anything that they do to really bring them together?
I mean, I know that they've done some stuff, like, behind the scenes to try to bring the team together. I'm not sure how much it's been helping, but, you know, getting rid of some of the girls that have, you know, just been trying to not exactly following the culture is helping a little bit.
A lot of egos.
Yeah, a lot of egos and a lot of talent on that team. You know, there's only one ball, Martin.
Yes. All right, I appreciate you, boys.
Hey, we appreciate you, Martin.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Love a call from Martin.
It's always a great day.
Absolutely. And, I mean, he really does. He brings an added value to the show, you know, because it does spur conversations, you know, with recruiting, you know, the transfer portal and stuff like that. And he adds stuff to it that we might have forgot to add earlier in the show.
Did y'all bring up Ryan O'Keefe, the wide receiver transfer out of UCF? He's in the transfer portal, 2,000 yards receiving, 15 touchdowns in his career. Another one to look out for.
So many names in the portal right now.
Thomas,
yep,
out of Mississippi State.
Well, it just came out.
What we got?
The finalist for the Heisman Trophy. I'll save it for the next hour.
You want to? Well, we got a few minutes. Go ahead and put it out there.
Where is it? Wait. He's not on there, is he?
Nope. Stetson Bennett.
You've got to be kidding me. Y'all finish this hour. I got to go calm down. Davis, send us a break at 6:55:50.
All right. Who's on there, man?
Stetson Bennett.
Okay.
Max Duggan.
Okay.
CJ Stroud.
Okay.
Caleb Williams.
Where the hell did Stetson Bennett come from? No one's talked about Stetson Bennett all year, man.
This is absolutely – CJ Stroud – I mean, Caleb Williams.
I mean, at least CJ Stroud has been in the discussion,
yeah,
at least
he's
somewhat
been the leader,
all
yeah.
year. It's been him and Caleb Williams. And before Hooker got hurt, it was between Hooker and CJ Stroud.
Yeah. Max Duggan comes out of nowhere.
I like the Max Duggan pick, like, but it's just absolutely absurd that you don't put in Hendon Hooker over Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
You've not talked about Stetson Bennett once this year.
Yeah,
not once.
No.
Now all of a sudden you just want to decide to throw him in there? It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I mean, you all do realize the people that are voting on this, like, you all saw the list of the people for the College Football Playoff Committee.
You got gym teachers and Mitch Barnhart.
Yep. Okay. Gym teachers voting.
Okay, now I want to get you guys a list. I'm going to find it. Because there is a website out there where you can send feces of cows, elephants, and gorillas anonymously. I'm going to get you a list. Let me get y'all a list. We're gonna break down who all's actually on this voting committee.
Okay.
Because right now, you can't tell me that the people making these decisions are the most qualified to make these decisions. You can't tell me that.
I would argue also Hooker and Michael Penix are robbed.
Yeah.
They both were, yep.
And also, you want to go Blake Corum, he's had a great year. He's injured, too.
Drake May wasn't even on that list, was he?
Nope.
No.
So where's Drake May?
Neither was Jalen Hyatt. But, you know.
We never pushed for Jalen Hyatt.
But, I mean.
Who else is on the list?
Stetson Bennett, Max Duggan, CJ Stroud, and Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett made it.
Yep.
Yes. I hope Duggan wins it.
I don't know, man. Stetson Bennett, I mean, you can say all he wants, man. He won, but, I mean, did he really win?
When you have that much talent around you, you're going to win football games.
Yeah.
When you have the talent that you have at wide receiver, your tight ends, the best tight end duo in America, the running backs that you have, the defense you have, the offensive line, everything around you, you're going to win football games. Hendon Hooker did it from nothing. He didn't have all the resources that all these other guys had. Let's go to break. I'm about to say something that I shouldn't. Stay with us. Hour number one of the books, hour number two coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.